Welcome to everyone at Church of the Green for this Mothering Sunday service, a service with a difference as it's a recorded service. But we hope this will be a medium that enables us to come together as the family of God in our Father's presence and to be able to offer him praise and thanksgiving and to receive and hear his voice. We're going to be thinking about the words from Isaiah 66, verse 13 that Andy is going to speak on in a few moments' time. It says this, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you." Earlier in Isaiah chapter 66, we saw in our growth groups this week these words, "These are the ones I look on with favour, those who are humble and contrite in spirit." Contrite, meaning those who are repentant, who are coming before God, aware of our own sinfulness. And so we come to ask for forgiveness for that using the words on the printed sheet. And I invite you to join along with me in saying these. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. The Apostle Peter, writing in his first letter, has some great words of reassurance. It says this, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Thank you, Heavenly Father, for these great words that assure us that in Jesus Christ we have one who has borne our sins, that they no longer count against us, that we are forgiven, and that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we pray that we might live now for righteousness, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Psalm 23 is a well-known psalm for good reason. It is a psalm that speaks of the comfort that we can know in knowing the Lord as our shepherd. And in a moment, Carolyn is going to read it for us. Before she does that, I'm going to pray both for the reading of God's word and then for hearing Andy speak. I'm going to take the words from earlier in Isaiah 66, where it says this, "Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word." Heavenly Father, we pray that we might be a people who do tremble at your word, that we would listen and apply this word to our hearts and in our lives, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
We're going to hear a new song, "Jesus, Strong and Kind." And I want to encourage us to join in. The words are on the sheet, and it's a tune that will easily pick up, I think. It really speaks into our situation. We know Jesus as the Good Shepherd, and this song invites us to come to him. He is good and faithful. He will keep us day and night.
It was at the end of last year that we planned our preaching programme for this spring term. Little did we know what would be happening now. But we chose one particular verse, it's Isaiah 66 and verse 13, to be a focus for what would have been an all-age service this morning. We chose this for several reasons, in part because it draws to an end our series in this great book of Isaiah, but also in part because this Sunday is, of course, Mothering Sunday. And in this verse, we are given a powerful picture of how God cares for his people, protects his people, comforts his people as a mother comforts her child. So whilst we have no pictures to be looking at this morning, the promise is just as powerful. So let me read Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. The word with which we'll be focusing on this morning is there repeated three times. It is this word, comfort. And I have to say it feels particularly apt at the beginning of this week, where so many of us will be feeling uncomfortable. Uncomfortable about what is happening around about us. Uncomfortable perhaps about the restrictions placed upon us. Or perhaps it's the response of others that makes us uncomfortable, whether we consider people to be overreacting, or not taking things seriously enough. There is plenty happening at the moment to discomfort us. But not only in the moment, in the present, we can also find ourselves feeling uncomfortable about the future. There are all sorts of questions for which we do not yet have answers. We do have some scientific predictions or modelled outcomes, but far from providing the comfort we long for, they may only serve to make us more uncomfortable. But what we have in Isaiah 66 and verse 13 is a promise from the Lord himself, where he promises comfort. That is his divine action. I will comfort you, he says. And that ushers in the human experience. You will be comforted. Well, what sort of comfort is being spoken of? Well, it's not maybe perhaps what we would immediately jump to as thinking of comfort. Sometimes we hear that word and we think either of fabric conditioner or a cozy pair of slippers, a cup of tea and a warm fire. Actually, this word comfort used here is more in the sense of being strengthened to keep on going. It may be a long time ago for some of us, but I'm sure we can all remember a time when we were upset and our mum comforted us. Whether we were hurting or scared or confused, our mum came to us, took hold of us, and things felt better. So this verse reminds us that the comfort God promises is at its root relational. The God of the Bible is no distant deity speaking simply from on high. Rather, he draws near and he offers comfort to his people, likened to a mother comforting her child. Perhaps a helpful way to think of it is this. Imagine breathing out all the air in your lungs and keeping on going until you feel they are completely empty. And then waiting as long as you can until you reach the point where you just have to take another breath. Perhaps you can recall a time when you've been playing at the beach and you're enjoying yourself in the water, jumping the waves until a big one comes along and knocks you under. You're spinning round, you don't know which way is up, you're unable to take a breath and you begin to panic. That is until a strong hand grabs you and lifts you out of the water and you can breathe again. It is that taking another breath which begins to capture the sense of this word, comfort. Now, to the original hearers in Isaiah's day, the promise of comfort, of being able to breathe again, would have been very precious indeed. For whilst they were in exile, well, they were a long way from being God's people in God's land under God's rule and blessing. Rather, they were enslaved to another people in the foreign land of Babylon under the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar, a long way from God's blessing. Life was miserable, painful, confusing, scary, not the sort of place as an Israelite you could breathe easy. How precious then the promise that God would comfort them. He would allow them to take another breath. Now this comfort for them then would take the form of a return from exile in Babylon to God's promised land, Israel. But it was never just geographical. There, back in Israel, they would be restored to being God's people and enjoying God's rule and God's blessing. So their comfort was not just in the form of a geographical rescue, but a relational one too. And as we see in the rest of the chapter, such comfort leads to joy. Well, what about you and I here today? Well, the comfort God offers us is still that allowing us to take a breath again. It begins with that same relational rescue. For as we reach the New Testament, the exile those in Isaiah's day experienced is used as an illustration of the relational exile you and I face from God before we come to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we do, as soon as we do, the discomfort that comes from being out of right relationship with our Creator is removed. Our relationship is restored. We are reconciled, redeemed, forgiven, adopted, comforted, and we can breathe again. But the comfort we receive from God does not stop on the day we become a follower of Jesus. It's actually just the beginning. For the security we have knowing that we are Christ's and he will never let us go. The comfort we have from God's promise that all whom he calls, he keeps. Well, that allows us, those promises allow us to take a breath no matter what we face each day. For some of us, it will be worries or anxieties over coronavirus. For others, it will be worries and anxieties over relationships and finances and the troubles that each day brings on its own. But whatever challenges or worries we have, our remembering who God is, what he has done for us, what he has promised to us, allows us to take another breath. Remembering that God is with us, and remembering that although we are clearly not in control of things, but he is, allows us to take another breath. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. And what's more, whenever God strengthens us in our weakness or comforts us in our trials, as the Apostle Paul reminds us, we have cause not only to thank God, to praise God, but also to share that comfort with others so that they too may be comforted. In this time of discomfort, remembering that God is the God of comfort will lead us to praise, but also to a continued encouraging one another. That's going to be tricky as we work out what that looks like in the weeks and months ahead. But if God, as God's people, it is what we are called to receive and to share. So let me finish now with the words of the Apostle Paul to the Christian brothers and sisters in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Amen.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of all comfort, the Father of compassion. And at a time when so many are worried by what the future holds, worried for their health, worried for their finances, worried for their family, for those who are sick in any way, we pray that we might be a people who cast all our anxiety on you as you invite us to do, because you care for us. And we thank you for the comfort that brings to know that you do care for us. And we pray we would be quick to come to you in prayer, dependent upon you. We pray for those in the health service. Pray for doctors and nurses and medics, for chief health advisors to the government. Lord, please give them all the strength and perseverance, wisdom and compassion as they help and treat people from this virus. And Lord, we want to, on this Mothering Sunday, pray for mothers. Maybe those of us who have them, who had planned to see them, have not been able to meet with them. Pray, Lord, with thankfulness for our mothers, for the comfort and care they have given us in our homes. For those of us whose mothers are no longer with us, Lord, we pray with thankfulness for them. For those of us who have had difficult relationships with our mothers, we pray that you would bring healing to our minds, comfort to our hearts. And we pray for those who are mothers with dependent children. We pray they may be full of love. Give them the gifts of your spirit of kindness and gentleness and patience, and that they might, together with their husbands, train them in the knowledge and fear of you. Lord, we pray for our government at this time, for those in authority over us, with the weighty decisions that they're having to make, Please may they act with mercy, wanting not to serve their own ends, but to serve the people whom they govern. Pray for our nation and our world, Lord, that at such a time as this, we would come to our senses and realise that you are the one ruling and reigning over all, and that one day you will return, and that we might look to you as the one who is our saviour and in whom we can find strength. And we pray for ourselves in the opportunities that you give us to serve the needs of those around us. As we're thinking in 2 Corinthians, we pray that we are able to comfort those in any trouble from the comfort we ourselves have received from you. And we pray that we might do that in the honour, to the honour and glory of the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're aware that coronavirus is spreading across the globe, but as well as the pandemic, there are swarming locusts in East Africa, the Middle East and Asia, and famine and hunger in regions of Africa. And so the Archbishop Ben Kwoshi of Nigeria, who is chairman of the Global Anglican Movement, has called for a day of prayer today. And he has written this prayer, which we pray together, thinking of brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world. Eternal God, whose Son Jesus Christ bore our grief and carried our sorrows, hear us as we pray for those in distress, the hungry and the homeless, the incapacitated and the handicapped, the mentally afflicted and depressed, the sick and the dying, the persecuted. Help us, Lord, who offer these prayers, to bear the sufferings of others as we seek to minister to them in your name, demonstrating your love and bringing your grace to bear in their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Finally, in our prayers, we want to give thanks. Today is the third birthday of Church of the Green. How we want to thank God for his goodness to us. 1 Thessalonians says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances." As we look back over these 3 years, we've seen God's faithfulness to us in so many ways, repeatedly providing for us. And what joy we've had as well, as we have grown together in Christ, worked together for his cause, and seen Jesus building his church. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you that you are building your church, and that in your goodness and kindness, you have established the work of your hands through your servants at Church of the Green. Lord, we want to thank you that time and again, we have marvelled at your faithfulness, the way that you have answered our prayers with such mercy, and that you have provided for our needs time and time again. Thank you for the work you've done in our lives in building us up in Jesus Christ as your word has been taught, as your spirit has been at work amongst us. And we thank you, Lord, that you have been calling people out of darkness, calling people to repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ. So to you, Lord, the only wise God, be glory forever and ever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's join together in saying the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Where is our hope found? We, as people who trust in Jesus Christ, have a great hope in him. It is in him that our hope is found. And so we're going to sing together, "In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found." Hope in life, which means that we have, too, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. Do join as we sing together. Final word before we say the grace together, and that is that we've been reminded that we're not alone, that Jesus Christ is with us. He is the Good Shepherd, who's laid down his life for us, and who is the great comforter to us in all our troubles. Please don't hesitate to be in touch if there's any way we can help with either Ed or James or myself. Growth groups will play a really important part in our life together in the coming weeks as a means of support and prayer for one another. And let's be looking out for our neighbours as well. There are great opportunities for us to bear witness to the love of Jesus Christ, thinking how we might be able to serve them. But let's conclude by saying the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.